योऽस्मभ्यं सम्प्रतिश्रुत्य खान्यरत्नं विघार्य न कृष्णायाधनशत्राजित् कस्माद्भ्रातरमन्दियात् यस्मभ्यं सम्प्रतिश्रुत्य कन्यारत्नं विघार्य नः कृष्णायाधनशत्राजित् कस्माद्भ्रातरमन्दियात् या हु अस्मभ्यं टु ईच ऑफ अस संप्राति श्रुत्या प्रामिसिंग कन्या हिज डॉटर रत्नम जुवलाइट विघारया contemptuously neglecting naha us krishnaya to krishna adat gave na not satrajit satrajit kasmat why Bratharam, his brother, Anviyat, should follow in death. Satrajit promised his jewel-like daughter to us, but then gave her to Krishna instead, contemptuously neglecting us. So why should Satrajit not follow his brother's path? Report. Since Satrajit's brother, Prasena, had been violently killed, the implication of following his brother's path is obvious. What we have here is an assassination plot. It is well known that Akrura and Kritavarma are exalted, pure devotees of the Supreme Lord. So their unusual behavior requires some explanation. The Acharyas provide it as follows. Srila Jiva Goswami states that Akrura, although a first-class, pure devotee of the Lord, was the victim of the anger directed against him by the residents of Gokul because he took Krishna away from Vrindavan. The Goswami further states that Kritavarma had associated with Kamsa, both of them being members of the Bhoja dynasty, and thus Kritavarma was now suffering from this undesirable association. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers an alternative explanation. Both Akrura and Kritavarma were furious with Satyajit because he had insulted Lord Krishna and spread false rumors about him in Dwarka. Under normal circumstances, Akrura and Kritavarma would have been most pleased that Lord Krishna married the beautiful Satyabhama. Being pure devotees, they could not actually be unhappy about this match, nor could they become jealous rivals of the Lord. Therefore, they had an ulterior motive in behaving like his rivals. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Yananjana Chalakaya
Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Cha Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Satrajit promised his jewel-like daughter to us, but then gave her to Krishna instead, contemptuously neglecting us. So why should Satrajit not follow his brother's path? Here we are reading this morning one of the very mysterious and difficult to comprehend stories which are being revealed in this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How is it that a Krura who is of the most exalted stature as a pure unalloyed Vaishnava can involve himself in speaking the words that we are hearing today? There are 9 processes of devotional service. Sravana Kirtana Smarana Bandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Satijana Atmanivedana. And these 9 processes of the devotional service are the only true means of developing realization and love for Krishna. It is the foundation of the whole philosophy of all the great Vaishnava sampradayas. And each of these 9 processes, it is explained, is exemplified by a particular, completely pure devotee of whom all Vaishnavas follow in their footsteps for all time to come. Bandhanam, the process of offering prayers to the Lord and perfecting our consciousness through this process is most perfectly exemplified by Akrura. We read how when Akrura was coming into Vrindavan, the whole way he was offering prayers of such pure unmotivated love to Krishna and Balaram. And when he entered into the precincts of Braj Bhumi and he saw the beautiful footprints of Lord Krishna, which are so gloriously distinguished by the sacred marks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became so enraptured and intoxicated. I need some water. That he fell from his chariot. He rolled in the dust. He was weeping and crying. Not in imitation, but in genuine, spontaneous love of God. And when he came into Vrindavan, he surrendered his life, his soul, his everything at the feet of Krishna and Balaram. And with such love for their pure, unalloyed devotee, they treated him with such kindness. They offered him all respects. They brought him to their home. They treated him with such love and hospitality. Nanda and Yashoda, everyone, how they respected and loved Akrura. So how is it possible that such a devotee can be engaged in the activity of conspiracy to murder someone? And Satyajit although at one time he was a very proud and materially attached person, he worshipped the sun god Vivaswan simply for his own sense gratification. By pleasing the sun god, he was given the most valuable Shamantaka jewel, which could every day produce an enormous amount of precious pure gold. And he would wear that Shamantaka jewel because when he wore it, it gave him such potency, such health, such effulgence that the residents of Dwarka actually thought he was the sun god himself. And he was asked by Krishna and the other residents of Dwarka that this jewel should be given to King Ugrasena, should be given to Krishna. The best should be offered to the Lord. The best should never be kept for ourselves. The story is very symbolic because we can know that any of the opulences of Krishna, if we try to keep them for ourselves, we may get some temporary recognition, respect, and fame. We may get some temporary wealth and sense gratification. But ultimately, keeping Krishna's property for ourselves will be undoubtedly the cause of our misery and our death. No doubt. The illusion of Maya is she's thinking, if you have something, you'll be happy. The greatest illusion. The more you have, the more you suffer. Because it's not yours. Because you're a thief. Saravaloka Maheshwara. Everything is Krishna's. You call this your wife, you suffer. You call this your children, you suffer. You call this your property, your intelligence, your abilities, you will die. That is the laws of nature. That is the illusion of Maya. The only freedom, the only path of real happiness is when we offer everything to Krishna. We are the caretakers. When something comes into our apparent possession, we are simply taking care of it on behalf of Krishna and using it in the service of Krishna. And if you do like that, then the supreme true wealth of the soul, the liberated state of Krishna bhakti, is given to you. But if you try to keep anything for your own personal enjoyment, try to withhold anything from Krishna service, then that very thing will be such a burden and the cause of your frustration in life, undoubtedly. Bhagavatam explains that a wealthy man who was wearing a beautiful crown on his head, he's so proud of it, he does not want to take it off. He does not want to give it up. But he's drowning in the ocean of material existence. And that heavy, golden, bejeweled crown, the greatest burden, is causing him to helplessly sink deeper and deeper in the ocean of misery. But yet he's thinking, as he's sinking, as he's drowning, he's thinking, look at me, I am the king. Look at my crown. See how beautiful I am. See what I have acquired in my life. See what I have done. And yes, some fools who are of the same illusioned mentality as him, they will say, oh, you are so wonderful. Look at what you have achieved. What a success you are. And in this way, such fools and rascals are only perpetuating the illusion of this man and causing him to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into a suffering condition. And even when he realizes he's suffering, he still can't give the crown to Krishna because he's too attached. Svavidvara hostra kadayar samstuta purusha pushu. Nayat karana pato peto jatu namagata agraja. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they will worship and praise people who are bigger dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. And this is material existence. So Satrajit, he would be most envied by any materialist for what he had. He didn't have to go out and work like an ass in a factory or in an office to make money. All he had to do is a little puja to the Shamantaka jewel, and he would get so much wealth that there was nothing he couldn't afford. And he became beautiful. His physical form just looked like the embodiment of health and beauty. What more could a person want? In this world, we know If someone is more beautiful than somebody else, there is envy. If someone has more wealth, there is envy. If someone has more influence and power, any materialist would envy him like anything. They would do anything to have that Shamantaka jewel. How irresistible it was for him to give it up.
Janmaishwarya Shruta Shibir Edamana Madapumana Naivarhati Vitatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam.
The greatest disqualifications for any spiritual advancement in our life is high birth, physical beauty, too much wealth, and high education. Because what you obtain through having these opulences is so nice to the mind and senses, so irresistible, that it is so difficult to give it up, to become detached from it. And thus we become proud. And our spiritual consciousness is spoiled by that pride. When Krishna asks us to surrender everything, sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam aham tvam sarva papivyo mokshayishi mimasa. You want to be freed from all suffering? You want to be freed from death? Give everything to me. Release yourself of the burden of this bondage. The bondage is our false ego, our pride. Because that false ego is nourished and strengthened by every time we accept anything for our own sense gratification. If you accept any flattery for your sense gratification, your false ego, like a monster, becomes bigger and more powerful. If you accept any wealth, any position, anything of this world for your own purpose, you're feeding the false ego. And that false ego, its only business is to trample upon and destroy real spiritual sentiments within your heart. It is a fact. Maya has created the false ego just to destroy any chance of approaching Krishna from within and without. And yet, we are very happy when our false ego is nourished and fed and becomes very strong. Therefore, Janmaishwaraya Shruti Shribhya Edamana Madhapumana, we cannot be attached to these things. We must give them all to Krishna, somehow or other. Satrajit, he was actually a very pious person. Satrajit was not a demon. He was actually a devotee. But he was overwhelmed by illusion. He was living in Dwarka. And his daughter was Satyabhama, the goddess of fortune. He was actually an exalted person. And he wasn't like Kamsa or Ravana, worshipping Brahma and Shiva to destroy and conquer the world. He worshipped Surya, the sun god, really in the mode of goodness. But he did have material motives. And he became so dear to the sun god, he received the Shamantaka jewel. But that Shamantaka jewel was so priceless, so valuable, it made him into something so wonderful in material eyes that it was simply irresistible to give up.
And even when God himself, Krishna, said, please give it to me, he said, no, how can I give it up? When will I ever get something like this again? What a temptation. How many of you could give away the Shamantaka jewel? Now you may be saying, I would give it up. Because you don't have it. It's easy to say, and it's easy to think, it's easy to even believe. But when you have it, and all of a sudden you're effulgent like a demigod, and everyone's bowing down to you, and you just, anything you want. You want to give charity in the mode of goodness, you want to have property for yourself. Once you have it, it becomes such an irresistible attachment. Will you be able to give it up? Hardly anyone could do it. But actually, if you want to go back to Godhead, you should know that before that time comes, you're going to be offered things much greater than the Shamantaka jewel. And if you want to accept any of it for yourself, your progress toward Krishna stops there. You will be offered all the pleasures of the heavenly planets. You will be offered the position of a demigod. You may also be offered the position of being a Lord Brahma. All these things will be given to you before you're allowed to enter into the spiritual world. And if you accept any of it for yourself, you stop there. It's only when you say, no, it's all for Krishna. I only want the loving service of Krishna. Savai pungsham paro dharamo yato bhakti radhokshache ahoy tiki apriti yata yayatma suprasidati mam shayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpa. If we want anything other than devotional service to Krishna, we cannot enter into the spiritual world. So Satrajit was really being tested. And he failed the test. He said, Krishna, it's mine. Tanasya mehe yamahom mameti. And Krishna said, all right. You keep it. Krishna could have taken it from him. Krishna could take everything from everyone. Eventually he does, but he allows you to go on with your illusion. This is his mercy, his kindness, to ultimately bring us to the platform of surrendering, either through love or through utter frustration. But either way, it culminates in love, in bhakti. So Krishna let nature take its course. You want to keep anything for yourself? See what the laws of material nature will do to you. Anyways, you can't keep anything. Better to just give it to Krishna while you can and get the credit before you lose it anyway. So the brother of Satrajit, Prasnena, that jewel was so attractive that it attracted a lion in the forest to kill him and take the jewel. And that jewel was so attracted that it attracted Jambavan, and he killed the lion and took the jewel. But he didn't want it for himself, because he's a great bhakta of Ram. So he gave it to his daughter. Anyways, Satrajit was so devastated by the loss of his material attachment that he blamed Krishna for losing it. Isn't this the typical situation of a materialistic devotee? Or just an ordinary materialistic person? When something goes wrong in your life, you blame God. He's the supreme controller. It couldn't happen unless he sanctioned it. Therefore, it's his fault. We're not willing to see it as his mercy that he's actually teaching us a good lesson. We're not willing to accept that it's because of my sinful karma that these reactions are coming. It's very difficult to blame yourself for something that goes wrong. We want to blame someone else. And the person who the most people blame for everything which is caused by their own sinful activities is Krishna. Is blame Krishna. It's his, why Krishna, you're doing this to me. Does that ever cross your mind? When there's a crisis in your life, when there's some disease, when there's some failure in your expectations, you say, Krishna, I'm chanting your name, I'm your devotee, why are you doing this to me? It's your fault. Why? How can you expect me to have implicit faith when you're doing this to me? Anyway, Satyajit started spreading rumors against Krishna. This is also a very important lesson, that whoever you are, people are going to spread lying rumors against you. And the bigger you are, the more the lying rumors will be against you. It's the nature of this world. Satyajit was saying, he was going around spreading to Krishna's own family members, the Yadus. He was saying, this Krishna of yours, he has stolen my jewel. He is the cause of the death of my brother. It's all his fault. Huh? So before believing anyone who says anything about anyone else, we should actually examine the situation nicely. But anyways, the Yadus, who are such exalted, many of them eternal associates of the Lord and or demigods, many of them were actually influenced by the rumors of Satyajit, and they actually started feeling suspicion and doubt toward Krishna. Their faith was being disturbed. Just see how malicious and dangerous criticism of Vaishnavas is. That even such exalted souls as the citizens of Dwarka were feeling doubt toward Krishna because of these rumors. Therefore, we should never hear such things. Whoever wants to speak them, kick them out. Don't be sentimental fool. Give hospitality to someone and then listen to them blaspheme Vaishnavas or God. Tell them to their face. If you are going to blaspheme, you are coming to murder my spiritual life. Get out. If we're not willing to do that, we are jeopardizing our spiritual life for the rest of this human birth. It's very serious. So, Krishna was thinking that now my devotees, they've lost their faith. They're starting to have questions, not losing faith, but they're having questions about me. So not for my sake, but for their sake, I must clear this whole mess up and reveal the truth.
So he went, and they found the lion, and they went to the tracks, and they found the cave of Jambavan, and Krishna went in, and for so many days he fought with Jambavan, and ultimately Jambavan realized that he's none different than his supreme worshipable Lord, Sri Ramchandra, who has now appeared in this beautiful threefold bending form of Shyam Sundar Krishna, Dwarkadish. So Jambavan surrendered.
He gave him the jewel. He gave him his most beloved possession in life, his own daughter, Jambavati.
And then when Krishna came back and everything was clear, Satyajit, he realized he made a big mistake. Which means, essentially, he was actually a very nice devotee. He was just intoxicated and infatuated by material energy. But when that infatuation was lifted from his eyes and his heart, he actually surrendered to Krishna. He said, I'm sorry. I will give you, not only do I give you my heartfelt offering of keeping this jewel, because Krishna said, you take it back. He said, no, you keep it. I don't want it. It's yours. His reasoning was twofold. One is he wanted to surrender the best he had to Krishna, and two, he realized that what has happened to my life and my family since I've had it, I don't want it. So he gave it to Krishna. And not only did he give that to Krishna, but he gave his own beloved daughter, Satyabhama, to Lord Krishna in marriage. Now, after all this, Akrura, who is that great, wonderful, beloved devotee of the Lord, and Kritavarma, who is also an eternal associate of Krishna, very intimate member of the Yadu dynasty, ultimately. He was the Bhoja dynasty. But he was very close with Lord Krishna. How is it that here they are plotting along with Satadanva
to murder Satyajit, to become implicated in such an irreligious and immoral activity? Is this something great devotees do? Very inconceivable. Very impossible to understand. Why would such an esteemed, celebrated devotee as Akrura fall down to the platform of being part of a murder conspiracy?
You cannot understand it without the explanation of the self-realized souls. Tadvijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchet. Abhigacchet means with all certainty, without question. If you want to understand the real conclusions of the Vedas, you must have guru. You must understand it through the words of the acharyas. There is no possible way for any great scholar to understand the conclusion and the essence of the Vedic literature. It is not revealed through the books themselves. It is revealed through the loving hearts of the great souls who explain the books. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyashu esha uta. We must hear from the acharyas. Therefore, we find in this world there are so many eloquent speakers who really know so many wonderful slokas and who can recite so many beautiful stories precisely, and who can explain so much philosophy from the Gita, from the Upanishads, from the Brahma Sutra. But how is it that their conclusion is not to love Krishna and surrender to Krishna? It is because they are trying to approach the scripture through their own mental prowess. and Krishna will never reveal himself through the scripture to such a person. It is only if we learn the scripture from an intimate devotee of the Lord that is the essence and the truth revealed, and there is no other way. So sometimes people, they criticize a guru. How has he done this? It is a flaw in his life. How is it possible? And Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur are explaining on two different levels why Krishna personally sanctioned for his own pure, unalloyed, intimate devotee to engage in sinful activity. They are not conflicting, these two descriptions. They are just two different levels of understanding. Because ultimately we must know that such an exalted person as a Akura, who has no separate interest in serving Krishna, he's being directed by Krishna. He's not doing things on his own. He's Krishna's property. Krishna may cover him by yoga maya, but for a specific purpose. And the acharyas reveal this purpose. First of all, whoever you are, however exalted, however dear to the Lord, if you cause pain to the Vaishnavas, you will have to suffer. Akrura came to Vrindavan in the most exalted possible state of consciousness and utterly surrendered to Krishna. But the grief and the pain that he caused the gopis, in fact, all the Brijvasis, and more than anyone, Srimati Radharani, by taking Krishna from their association, he caused mortal pain to be inflicted to their hearts. It was worse than death. You know the story. How all night long, when the news reached the gopis that Akrura was taking Krishna to fight with these two terrible wrestlers, Chanura and Mushtika, and to face the evil king Kamsa, they were so heartbroken. Krishna is going to leave us? Will he ever return? He's our everything. The gopis, in their spontaneous love, they would criticize Lord Brahma for giving them eyelids. Because even when they were sitting within inches from Krishna, when their eyelids would blink, the amount of time between the opening and closing of that eyelid seemed like 12 years for them, because they couldn't see their beloved Krishna. Now let me ask you practically, how many times, who can tell me, how many times you blink your eyes every day? How many times how many even notice when you ever blink your eyes? That one blinking of an eye. If you're going to take them away, then please, first, before you die.
First of all, claim the jewel for himself, which is not so bad, because every neophyte devotee claims so many things for themselves and are not willing to give it up for Krishna or anyone else. So that we pray for them, please get better. This is bad for you. Krishna doesn't need the Shamantaka jewel. Chintamani prakarasatma sukalpa briksha lakshavrate shushudabhira vipalayantam lakshmi sahasra satasambrama sevimanam govinda maripurushan tamahambhajam. What does Krishna need some jewel from the sun god? His whole abode is Chintamani. Everything, every grain of dust of the Lord's abode is billions and trillions of times more valuable and precious than the Shamantaka jewel. Lakshmi Sahasra Satasandra. And he has hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune just serving his lotus feet eternally. It was for Satyajit's personal interest that it was important for him to give the Shamantaka jewel to Krishna. But he would not. So Krishna said, all right, as you like. But Krishna was innocent. Krishna didn't do anything wrong. Of course, he's perfect and complete. He never does anything wrong. But on any level, even from the completely... Actually, Krishna has been accused of many things. But he didn't even have anything to do with this. Satyajit's brother went out showing it off. By his own sinful karma, he was killed. And Satyajit was blaming Krishna for everything. Satyajit was lying against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Satyajit was deliberately and intentionally trying to turn Krishna's own devotees against him. That is a serious offense. And Kritavarma and Akrura, they were furious. They were furious beyond control that this Satyajit was insulting Krishna publicly to his own devotees. We see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded to our Jagayan Madhai when they insulted Nityananda. Jagayan Madhai were killing so many innocent people. Jagayan Madhai were stealing, robbing, raping, always intoxicated. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never took any personal interest to rectify them. He just let the laws of nature take care of those things. But when Jagayan Madhai interfered with the life of his devotee, he became red hot like fire in anger. His eyes were like red hot coals. Those same beautiful lotus eyes, whoever Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya glanced upon, their hearts would melt with love upon seeing those beautiful lotus eyes. To Jagayan Madhai, those lotus eyes looked like death personified. They were red, they were hot, they were full of anger. He was about to destroy them. And Hanuman, how much anger, how furious he was with Ravana for disturbing the Lord's intimate devotee, Sita Devi. And Hanuman is not at fault. Hanuman went to Sri Lanka and he burned the whole city down with fire. This was the quality of his anger because Ravana had insulted the dignity of Sita.
So it was in this mood that Akrura and Kritavarma were feeling that this rascal, we cannot tolerate the insult to the Lord. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains that for a devotee, anger is not to be given up. It is said in Gita, Trivedam narakashidam dwaram nashitam atmana kama krodas tathalobas tasmat etat triyam yajet. That there are three gates that lead to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. And every sane man must give these three up. But we find devotees become angry. Devotees should not give up anger. Srila Prabhupada explains, whenever we hear the Lord or His sincere devotees being criticized, it is our duty to become angry like fire and defend them and protect them. And if you don't, and you sit and you listen, there will be a terrible reaction for you and for him. So in this way, Akrura and Kritavarma, of course, Srila Prabhupada also explained that according to time and circumstance, we have to do what's best for preaching. When someone vilifies the Lord or a Vaishnav, the scripture says, you have several choices how to react. One is, first you kill him, and then you kill yourself for hearing it. Rivo! But that's not conducive for preaching. Second is you cut out his tongue. But that's also very much not conducive for preaching. Third is you defeat him. That's very conducive for preaching. Fourth, if you cannot defeat him, you desperately, urgently hold your ears and run away. For preaching purposes, maybe you walk away. But hold your ears. And if it comes through, run. So in this mood, you can imagine how Akrura and Kritavarma were furious as pure-hearted, natural devotees of the Lord to hear the criticism of Krishna. So therefore, they used an excuse. Utility is the principle. They used an excuse that Krishna married Satyabhama instead of us because of Satyajit. Therefore, Satyajit must die. But they were actually very happy. They were blissful that Krishna married Satyabhama. But they spoke to Satadhanva whatever was necessary to tell him to get him to do the job, which they felt was necessary. So in this way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is actually glorifying them for what they did. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigena Bujai. Very difficult to understand the actions of great Vaishnavas. We must understand through the words of the great souls, through the scriptures, and we must know that a real Vaishnav who is humbly serving the previous acharyas, he is actually being protected by Krishna. Even if apparently there is some mistake, that mistake may be arranged by Krishna for that person's spiritual advancement. That mistake may be arranged by Krishna to teach the world a lesson. There could be so many reasons.
But that devotee will be protected by Krishna because he's the humble servant of the servant. But when a devotee deviates from being the humble servant of the servant, then Krishna withdraws his protection. And at that time, it's just a matter of getting reactions, of course, for purification. But the protection is withdrawn. And without Krishna's protection, we cannot do anything properly. No one, whoever we may be. Maya is so strong. Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamivam prepapadyante mayam etatarantite. That there is no person in all of creation that can overcome the temptations of Maya. Only that person who surrenders to Krishna. Why? Mahatmanam tumam bharata daivim prakriti mashata vajantyananya manaso yatva bhutatam avyayam. Because that devotee who surrenders to me, who engages in my loving service as the servant of the servant of the servant, he's under my protective energy. I personally protect him from Maya. Satrajit promised his jewel-like daughter to us, but then gave her to Krishna instead, contemptuously neglecting us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Ashlisyava padratam panashtu mama darshanam marmahatam korotuva yathadadata vidatatu lampato matprana natastu se evana paraha. That my Lord, you are free to do anything you like with me. If you like, you can make me so happy by embracing me. Or you can make me so pained. You can torture me by trampling upon me. Or you can break my heart by neglecting me. You are free to do anything and everything. Whatever pleases you, my Lord, because I am your servant unconditionally. This is the nature of a real devotee. But yet, Akrura, he is angry with Satyajit. Angry at Krishna for neglecting him. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining, impossible. He did not feel neglected. He was happy. But he wanted to perform his duty of giving the suitable reaction to this person for what he had done. It was an example of his love. But, to bring the two together, his love was to be misunderstood as a total loss of intelligence. Because in one sense, Satyajit did surrender to Krishna ultimately. In one sense, even though Akrura and Kritavarma acted out of pure love in what they did, still, it wasn't really the right thing to do. It was done with the right motive. It was done with pure affection for Krishna. But still, their heart was right, but their intelligence was questionable. Why show your love like this? To kill Satyabhama's father. And she was aggrieved in agony of heartbreak. In fact, Akrura and Kritavarma, they had to flee for their lives. And Satyadhanva was killed by Krishna. Because Satyabhama was so brokenhearted at the death of her father. So we can understand that they acted out of pure unalloyed love from their hearts. Therefore, there was no fault in them. But their intelligence was not manifesting their love properly. So it was because of displeasing the gopis, they didn't lose their devotion, they didn't lose their love, but they lost their intelligence. And they all had to suffer a reaction. So in this way, we can understand how vitally important it is to hear the scriptures with Srila Prabhupada's wonderful purports, which explain everything so beautifully, so nicely. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, we were talking about this, the Manu Samhita, but isn't it that there is a person who is authorized to mete out this justice?
Only the king.
So by them acting in that way...
And the king, who has his empowered representatives, who make their courts and their judges perfectly according to the laws of God. But according to time, place, and circumstance, Kala Desha Patra, you are not the king of the land. None of us are. We have no right to make such a decision. In fact, our own Guru Maharaj very, very carefully warned us, do not violate the laws of the government. Do not risk going against the ways of material nature in this way. The laws of the government, if they tell us to sin, we cannot. Abortion, cow slaughter. Almost every government in the world says this is very good. Do it as you like. We will never listen to that. We will accept the law of God. But when it comes to executing justice to those who have sinned, we have to leave that to the government, however perverted and corrupt they are. We cannot interfere. We have no right. Any devotee in this movement, the only power of attorney we have on behalf of God and the disciplic succession to bring about justice is to preach the truth. Nothing else. We cannot take the law in our own hands. Srila Prabhupada told us that even if the laws of the government are corrupt, still we must respect them and we must follow them. Otherwise it will be a great disturbance in our own lives and in the entire mission. Yes?
I'm somewhat confused by the class that... when we came into spiritual life, we have always been told that whatever is your material conditioning, whatever bad things you have done in your life, forget about everything, chant the holy name, associate with the devotees in a humble way, and be a servant of the servant of the servant, and everything comes all right. Krishna will give his causeless mercy to you, and whatever bad karmas and everything has been done by you is been taken over by his causeless mercy. But by seeing this example of Akrura and Kritavarma, they were the pure devotees. They were on the topmost platform. And although they were there on the topmost platform and they did something wrong, specifically Akrura, he did something wrong. It was not his will and wish. It was the will of Krishna because of that he had done it. And even after doing that also, he has to suffer. When he had to suffer because of this thing, which he had done on the wish of Krishna, and we people, having done all sorts of nonsense things, and then we came into spiritual life, how can we be spared out by Krishna? So is it not so that we will not be able to get love of God unless and until we have to suffer all these things, then only we can get it?
Yes. You're already suffering all these things. You must understand that Akrura, on one level he was suffering, but on another level, his suffering was ecstasy because he was such a great devotee. He really didn't suffer. The suffering a devotee endures on a physical and mental level, it may appear like suffering, But in the heart, it is awakening a deeper ecstasy because it is done with love. It is accepted with love. But we understand, although Akrura did act inconceivably in ways that appeared to be against Krishna, I mean, how much pain Satyabhama endured by what he did, killing her father. It's unbelievable. But still, we find in the future chapters, in the future verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Akrura remained so dear and intimate and loving with Krishna. Actually, from what I remember of this story, Satyajit did take the Shamantaka jewel back. Huh? Yes? And then Akrura took it from him. Correct? And then Krishna knew that Akrura had it because he heard rumors that he was giving so much charity away. But ultimately, Krishna treated Akrura with such love and kindness, because actually he was put under the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. Such great souls, they never fall under the influence of Mahamaya. He is a Nitya Siddha. He was under the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. And ultimately, his love and devotion was intact, and Krishna's favorability toward him was always intact. So yes, in the process either of our own purification or in the process of acting as an instrument of Krishna, there may be intervals where inconceivable experiences take place. But through it all, Krishna is always protecting his devotee, and in the end he embraces him and lovingly gives him his sweet mercy. So in regard to you and me, we are not exalted souls like Akrura. But we should know that even in Krishna consciousness, even after we surrender to Krishna, if we commit offenses, if we act immorally, Krishna will arrange some reaction of suffering upon us. Even if we're devotees, we've taken initiation and we've surrendered, just to help us on the spiritual path, we will have to suffer for everything we do wrong, especially offenses and immoralities against the four regulative principles, or in disobedience to the vows we take. If we break our vows on any level, we will suffer by Krishna's personal arrangement. And we need that as a warning to give us impetus to maintain our vows properly. We require the knowledge that I will suffer if I make a mistake, if I do something wrong. One of the offenses to the holy name is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting, thinking I'm chanting, so it's all right, I can sin, because the chanting removes my sins. The chanting is attracting Krishna to help you. And because you've sinned, because you're chanting his name, he may make you suffer worse than an ordinary person to teach you a good lesson, to get you to give it up. Still confused? No? There's no difficulties in understanding Krishna conscious principles. Everything that comes in our life, the suffering, the happiness, it's all Krishna's mercy for our welfare.
That we can understand. Exactly, technically, how it's for our welfare and why it's happening, that you may not understand. But you must have faith that it is.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Thank you very much.